All righty, welcome back to the Pizzatola Center here at Brown University, where Henricken leads Classical 36-28 in this Division I championship. We've got Justin Mazzulla with 12 points leading Henricken, and Rodney Theodore with 11 points leading Classical. Chris, your breakdown of the first half and what to expect in the second.
Yeah, I mean, I think Henricken did a really nice job settling in, running their stuff. Certainly the complexion of the game changed when Preston Santos entered the game for Henricken, his length and his ability really to help them get out on the break as well. So they were, you know, just what we thought they'd be, an extremely well-coached team that was able to be poised, weather the initial storm and settle down. Classical, for their part, I mean, I think the shot opportunities are there for them. What they can't do is continue to hoist them up quickly. That's playing into Hendrickson's hands. That's what they want. They want to pressure you, put some token pressure, get that shot clock down to 18, 17 seconds by the time you really initiate your offense, and then put you in a position where you think you've got to pull the trigger quickly. Classical cannot settle for jump shots. Their jump shots have to flow from their drive and kick game, not just independent and quick in the shot clock situation. So we'll see what happens. If they can settle down and also just hang on to the ball, Dan, you know, they'll be well served. They cannot have nearly as many unforced turnovers.
All righty, perfect. Classical Purple has the ball side court, and we are starting here at the Pizzatola Center with second half action. We have the starting five of David Duke, Rodney Theodore, Ernest Umo, Jonathan Batista, and Jamari Johnson to start it off, and we've got a basket from Classical.
And you get a dribble drive. You know, right off, nice isolation, David Duke straight to the tin.
All right, so Duke brings the purple within six, but right on the other side, Preston Santos scores. So he starts the second half for Henricken.
Yes.
And here comes Classical the other way. Jamari Johnson off a missed shot by Batista scores, and so right away we're right at it. Lawton, Hensler, Mazzulla, Santos, Rosa, and that'll do it for the five players on the floor for Henricken right now. We got a blocking foul
moving screen called on Hensler.
Against Henrickin's Hensler, and so that is his first personal foul. Team foul number one, so just 34 seconds into the ball game, and we've got a lot of back and forth and a couple of buckets and a lot of offense and a lot of action.
Yep, and if you're Classical, great dump down, feed, elevation, and jam on the part of Jamari Johnson. David Duke making goes around him better, big time.
David Duke had cut into the lane and was waiting for a pass, and he got one and jammed it home. That makes it 38-34. Something tells me we could have another barn burner here, and here's a classic pump fake and send them to the roof type of move from Dimitri Rosa from three-point land. He pump faked, and Rodney Theodore decided to try to whack it away. Problem was, Rosa never let go of the ball, and it's a foul on Theodore.
Well, and you know that the Classical players clearly got the message that you cannot leave Rosa open, and he was flying at him. Fortunately, a non-shooting foul.
Justin Mazzulla gets the inbounds pass at half court and walks it up. Top of the key, Trevor Lawton. Right side, Kyle Hensler. Underneath to Justin Mazzulla. He's got traffic on the baseline, but he draws a foul, and he'll go to the line.
Yeah, I mean, Hendrickson's done a great job of isolating Mazzulla in different spots on the floor where he can use his quickness to drive other bigs. Did a great job there, and he's got such excellent body control. Was able to get that up on the rim and draw the foul.
Mazzulla, first free throw, no good. Navigant Credit Union, Quonset Business Park, Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, Takeo Incorporated, Wright's Farm Restaurant, Benrus, Providence Sky Chiefs, all contributing sponsors to this broadcast, and we thank them for their support. After the free throw, it's 39-34, and Classical comes to the offensive end. We got a whistle and a foul going against Henricken.
Yeah, it's a good call. David Duke put pressure on Rosa by driving him hard to the left. Rosa's just got to take a better angle. He got caught almost with his shoulders perpendicular to the baseline. Could not stay in front of Duke and drew the foul.
First foul on Rosa. Second team foul for Henricken in the half. And so with a zone defense, Henricken.
Yep, 2-3 matchup.
Sags into the lane, and we've got an alley-oop attempt. A pass in there for David Duke. He missed the bunny, but they still have the ball. Johnson throws a behind-the-back pass to Duke underneath the basket. It goes out of bounds, but it's last touched by the Hawks. I think that's a break for Classical. That was pretty sloppy underneath the hoop.
Certainly was. We'll see what they do off the dead ball situation here.
Inbound from Theodore. outside Batista. Now a three-pointer from Duke. Pretty shot. Good. And now the score is 39-36 with 2 minutes gone by in the second half.
And that's great awareness by Duke. He knew that Rosa needed to give him space on the dribble drive. He had enough real estate to pull the trigger.
Here's a three-pointer that misses everything from Rosa. It's rebounded by Santos, and we have a whistle, and the foul will go against Henrikin. It looks like Santos is going to pick up that foul, and that will be his second, team third. Substitution Billy Mueller comes into the ball game for Henrikin, and gives a rest to Dimitri Rosa, who just threw that air ball.
Yeah, Jamal Gomes, Henrikin coach, not happy with the officials. By the way, the officials are Joseph LeClerc, George Tracy, Jr., and James Steer.
There you go.
Perfect segue.
Batista, right wing, looking for some room to operate. Throws into the corner to David Duke. His three-pointer is good. He looks to his own crowd for a little support, and he just tied the ball game up at 39. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen, for the Division I championship at the Pizzatola Center at Brown. Capacity crowd, and they are seeing a dandy now. We've got a whistle away from the ball on the Henrikin offensive end. Foul will go against Classical. It's charged to Ernest Gumo. That is his third personal foul, the third team foul of the half.
And, Dan, we're starting to see a big-time point guard in David Duke answer the bell. He is elevating his game here in the second half, and he's either scored or been involved in just about every scoring play so far.
Inbounds pass goes to Trevor Lawton. He throws it to Missoula underneath, and Missoula is fouled. An elbow is tossed. The official makes a flamboyant call there. They'll make a substitution. Classical will. Jarrell De Los Santos replaces Ernest Umo, who leaves with the three personal fouls. Now four. He got caught for his fourth there, so that's why he's sitting for Coach Kavanaugh. Inbounds play. Billy Mueller crosses the lane, throws a cross-court pass. Dangerous one to Trevor Lawton, who misses the bunny. It rolls off the rim. It goes out of bounds. Last touch by Henrikin. That's a tough one. You got to make that shot.
Yeah, especially after the pass was somehow able to sneak through.
Here's Rodney Theodore for a three-pointer in front of his own basket. A long pass came from the backcourt to Theodore, and he knocked that home. That's three three-pointers for Classical that bring them a three-point lead.
Yeah, and they are shooting well from the outside, but let's remember, sometimes the three can be fool's gold. Okay, you can't fall in love with it. It should still be a derivative of what you're doing off the bounce.
And now on the offensive end for Henrikin, Billy Mueller's called for an offensive foul, so the momentum has completely shifted here at the Pizzatola Center. We'll be right back on WPRV.
All mattresses lose their original comfort and support in about 8 years. For cool, weightless sleep, experience the new Elevate Collection exclusively at Cardi's. Its lift foam actively absorbs and supports your body and is naturally ventilated. Produced from biodegradable renewable resources, lift foam in Elevate is hypoallergenic and dust mite resistant.
Shop Cardi's Furniture, Swansea, Route 2 West Warwick, South Attleboro, South Kingstown, and mattress locations everywhere.
Hey, Coach, welcome back to Wright's Farm Restaurant.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, we just finished dinner, and as usual, the service was prompt and friendly. That chicken just great, moist and delicious. Now I'm here on the lawns, relaxing, trying my luck at Kino while Julie and the kids are in the gift shop. We love your gourmet fudge and the original house salad dressing, and I'm hoping she buys me some of that cool sports fan gear. And yeah, we'll be back next week from my son's sports banquet.
Great, see you next week.
Wright's Farm Restaurant. Come for the meal, stay for the shopping. 84 Inman Road, Harrisville, Rhode Island, or wrightsfarm.com.
All right, it's a whole different atmosphere here. What was a 36-28 halftime advantage for Henrikin has disappeared completely. Classical leading 42-39 on the strength of some good D and three-point shooting. We have 12:48 remaining in the contest, and we've got a basketball game. The Classical fans are now up. The place is sold out. David Duke with the ball and a three-point lead for the Purple comes to the front court, drives the lane, layup good.
Yep. Another big-time move by Duke. Great hesitation, little crossover. And again, Dan, you know, they're not turning the ball over this half. They've got probably only two turnovers in the first four and a half minutes or so here.
44-39 the score. Here's Kyle Hensler driving baseline for the Hawks. He's fouled en route to the basket. Not sure if he's going to get shots or not. That'll be team foul number five, yes, for Classical.
They're going to say it's on the way up.
Yep. So Kyle Hensler will go to the free throw line. He'll have two. First is good. You want to see some professional basketball? The Providence Sky Chiefs home games at the Johnson & Wales Wildcat Center all season. Second good from Hensler. Big shots there. Closes the gap to three. And Classical comes to the front court and throws it away. Last touch by Henderson.
And that's that same sideline design play advance off of a made free throw. Classical trying to get it down to find a spot-up shooter in the corner. Hensler did a nice job sticking his hand in for the deflection.
Rodney Theodore will inbound. Looks into the right side for Jarrell De Los Santos. And now it's out to David Duke. He's got plenty of room with this sagging zone defense. They're going to let him make his move, and he does. Gives to De Los Santos, who misses a layup, falls short. Missoula takes the ball off the floor, so Henderson comes the other way. Here is Preston Santos, right-hand dribble back to the basket against Duke. Out to Billy Mueller. Mueller has nowhere to go. He's caught. He's looking for help. He gives to Lawton. 12-footer. No good. Short. Rebound off the floor. Taken by a racing David Duke. He's 2-on-3. On the right side to Theodore. Three-point jumper coming good.
And that's just another outstanding play, Dan, in the open floor by David Duke. Gathered himself. Didn't try to force it down the left alley. Saw he had a teammate in the corner. Zipped it over there. Pocket pass. Big-time three-point shot. That was Chris Dunn-like.
47-41. 11:20 remaining in the ballgame. Plenty of time for theatrics, and I'm sure we're going to find it. Now we've got Henderson on the offensive end and a foul against Classical. And this is going to be important. This is the sixth foul for Classical on the team. Every foul from here on in is going to be a shooting foul for Henderson. Every Classical foul will result in free throws for Henderson.
Absolutely. And, you know, just assists Henderson in chipping away at this. So you certainly don't want him to get to the double bonus.
I believe Batista picked up the foul. He has three. And so here we go on the offensive end. New shot clock for Henderson. They have 14 fouls, by the way. So six for Classical, four for Henderson. Hensler on the right wing. We got a whistle away from the ball.
It's a good call.
Coach Gomes and the official having a conversation about it.
De Los Santos was impeding the progress of Missoula. He was not allowing Missoula to get to the spot on the floor where he was trying to get, and sort of got a knee slash thigh into him. Good call.
All right. So De Los Santos picks up his first personal foul. And again, as I said, team foul number seven. So the Hawks, with still 11:08 remaining in the ballgame, will be shooting every foul in one way or another. 1-1 for Justin Missoula, and he knocks the first one down.
Grab a Snickers bar, buddy, because we're not going anywhere for a while.
14, now 15 points for Missoula as he makes both ends of the 1-1. It's a four-point game. David Duke splits defenders, loses the ball, gets it back, gives to Theodore, who hits the side of the backboard with his three-point shot. But he followed and scored, was fouled, and will go to the line. What a play by Rodney Theodore after throwing up a brick.
Oh, yeah.
Followed his own shot, went to the hoop, and Missoula fouled him, picking up his second foul, team foul number five.
Yeah, Theodore let go of what he knew was a scud missile immediately. He went after it, tracked it, and then was able to elevate along the baseline. Missoula tried to slide in, but just did not get there in time. Missoula also hit the deck hard. Back of his head hit the floor in that collision. I think the block was a proper call. Hopefully Missoula's okay.
He's a little shaken up. Jamal Gomes is yelling directions to the team, and he's not very empathetic to Missoula right now. So Rodney Theodore will go to the free throw line. He has 19 points in the ball game already, and he looks to complete the three-point play and does not. The ball bounds away off the back of the rim, and Preston Santos comes down for the rebound from Henderson. Gives to Kyle Hensler, who drives, misses the layup, but it's picked up by Missoula, and he scores. That makes it 49-45 as we cruise past 11 minutes to go.
And here's Henderson with some 2-2-1 pressure. Wow, long arms by Missoula. Almost able to steal the inbounds pass on what was an unbelievable angle if he could have actually corralled that.
Batista in the backcourt. Gives to David Duke, who is trapped at half court. And picks up the fine. Rosa, I think, picks up the foul, and he's going to pick up a T if he keeps acting that way. I know he's staying. I got pushed, but there's a way to make that point. Yes. Now he's making nice with the official.
Yep.
and the official's telling him, you better make nice with me.
Sounds like we're all set. It seems like we're all set. I'll tell you what, though. Plaskill needs a safety valve on that pressure. Duke got away with it. He tried to force it up the sideline. Fortunate to get bailed out by what was a foul. But
Rodney Theodore, corner jumper, bounds away. It was a three-pointer off the inbound. No good, but De Los Santos picks it up, has his shot blocked by Santos. Then Batista steals. It's out of bounds. Last touch by Plaskill. It'll be Hawk ball in the backcourt.
Yeah, that was that very easily could have been a foul call on Plaskill. Hendricken ball.
We got a whistle. We got a timeout. We have 10-18 remaining at the Pizzatola Center in the Division I championship. 49-45 the score. Plaskill on top. We'll be right back. Dicom Sports produces this ball game on WPRV.
Taco is proud to support this broadcast and wishes good luck to all the student athletes. At Taco in Cranston, they're a third-generation, family-owned American manufacturer of the highest quality comfort solutions for businesses and homeowners. 80 years in business, they continue to grow as a diverse and active company in traditional and new markets, and believe that their core values and enduring commitment to product quality will keep them a model Rhode Island business and community partner. Learn more at taco-hvac.com.
Benriss, originally created in 1921, quickly dominated the world of high-fashion watches and then went on to supply America's military with precision timepieces from World War II through Vietnam. Today, Benriss has been reimagined. Shop Benriss watches, backpacks, sunglasses, and apparel at 39 Pike Street, Providence, and online at Benriss.com. Follow Benriss USA on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to stay current and up-to-date with promotions as well as exclusive sneak peeks and giveaways.
Welcome back. Dan York, Chris DeSano, and Doug McGonigal at this Division I championship. Earlier today, Cherahoe beat Burrillville in Hollywood fashion, 60-59 for the Division III championship. Narragansett beat Westerly, 65-54 for the Division II. And here we are in the Division I, 49-45 Plaskill leads with 10-14 remaining in the ballgame. Hendricken to the front court in their white uniforms trimmed in green. Here's Justin Mazzulla, gives to Trevor Lawton at the top of the key. Now Hensler guarded by Batista. Plaskill in their purple on the defense. Lawton throws the ball away. Nice play by David Duke on the defensive side. And so Plaskill comes racing with Duke. He splits the defenders. His reverse layup is good.
Wow.
Wow is right.
That's high level. High level with a little bit of English. Right hand, left lane, spinning it off.
51-45. Plaskill on top. Here's Hensler driving in. He gets some traffic. Johnson got a piece of his shot. He misses. And it's followed by Mazzulla, who gets fouled on his shot.
Yeah, great follow by Mazzulla and great initial drive by Hensler. You can tell he's a veteran point guard, understands what he needs to do to continue to let his team chip away in this game. I thought he was hacked, actually, but Mazzulla was there to clean up the loose change and get himself a trip to the line.
Fouls on Jonathan Bautista, his fourth foul. And Mazzulla hits the first. Substitutions, Isaiah Myers checks in along with Billy Mueller for Hendricken. In the ballgame now, Jacob Lamar replaces Batista, who leads with four personal fouls. So Missoula's second free throw is up, and it is good. 51-47, 9:34 remaining in the ballgame. We have a dandy in front of a packed house at the Pizzatola Center for the Division I championship here at Brown. David Duke veering in the lane. His shot is missed, but he is fouled, and he will go to the line. And that will be team foul number 7 for Hendricken. So they join Bonus Lamb. This is a shooting foul, but every foul now on both sides of the floor will be a shooting foul.
And good presence right there by Duke. He came off the high ball screen off the right side near the top of the key. Got into the lane, could have pulled up for about an 8-footer, but saw that he had more daylight than that, took it all the way to the cup, and was able to collect the foul.
Not sure who picked it up. If Mazzulla picked it up, it's his second. There are three players for Hendricken with two fouls at this point. Rosa, Preston Santos, and Mazzulla, at least on the floor. Free throw is good, 52-47. This is David Duke on the line. He has 16 points, looking for 17, and his shot is good. So Plaskill pushes the lead back out to 6, 53-47, 9:18 remaining in the game. Here's a three-point shot from Billy Mueller. Bang for Hendricken. Closes the gap to 3.
Miller came off that screen, was able to turn, square his body up, and knock that down. Big shot.
David Duke the other way drives the lane and is hacked. The David Duke show has begun here at the Pizzatola Center.
Yeah, it has. He's been immense this half. really doing a deft job of getting himself into the lane and either converting or involving his teammates. He's a heck of a lead guard.
Justin Mazzulla picked up his third personal foul, the eighth team foul. David Duke is on the line. It was a shooting foul, so he has two free throws. The first is good.
And another important point in the growth of any player is understanding you don't always have to go 1,000 miles per hour. And I think in this second half, Duke has done a really nice job of understanding and controlling his own pace, which is helping him get the spots on the floor more purposefully and have success.
Second, good. So every time Hendrickson has responded here in the second half, Classical has come right back. They still have a 5-point advantage as they get back on the defense, and Hendrickson comes to the forward court. Billy Mueller working against Jacob Lamar. They can't out to the circles. They're passing the ball around, trying to figure out some rhythm. Here's Preston Santos, who shows a 3-pointer. He's in the air. He gets fouled. He figures, hey, I'll put it up anyway, and he banks it home on accident. And I'm not going to – you couldn't argue any other way.
No, I think they're going to say his foot was on the line. It looks like it's going to be a 2, but he's going to have a chance at the – as untraditional a three-point play as a traditional three-point play can be.
All right, so they're going to call that a two-point shot.
He was right there.
But he was hanging in the air, got hit, and said, I might as well fire it up.
Yeah.
Bang, off the glass. So that makes it 55-52. This kid is talented. He is a ball player. Free throw. Caroms off, but it's rebounded by Dimitri Rosa, so the Hawks keep the basketball, and now we've got a foul charge to Classical. And man, I'll tell you, there has been a lot of contact in this game. This foul is charged to David Duke. He picks up his third personal foul. The team limit has been reached, 10 team fouls. And so now every foul against Classical called will result in two free throws for the Hendrickson Hawks.
And credit Rosa right there, but that should never happen. You got to put a body on that kid. There's no way he should be able to sneak in among those trees for an offensive board like that. Let's keep an eye on the pace of this game as well. Remember, the first time these two teams tangled, it was 46-45 in double overtime. We're already at 55-53 with 8:40 to play. What will happen over the final 8:40?
Rosa makes both. And so
55-54
it is with 8.5 to play. David Duke tries to find some room in the lane. Can't. De Los Santos has it now. Gives it back to Duke. Stutter step, hesitation move with a good, pretty pass to Johnson, who jams it home.
Wow. First of all, outstanding off the ball screen by Duke, but then the catch by Johnson, that had some heat on it. And then off 2 feet, the elevation for the jam.
Back the other way. Santos misses a bunny off a beautiful pass from Mazzulla underneath the basket. Classical gets the rebound. We approach 8 minutes to go. Classical to the front court with a 3-point lead. Here's Theodore. Hesitation move. Floater. Good off the back. Glass. Wow. With a left hand from the right side.
Left hand, right side. In traffic at a ridiculous angle.
59-54. Classical leads.
John Kavanaugh probably didn't draw it up that way, but counts for two. He'll take it.
Billy Mueller, 10-footer. Rims out for Hendrickson, but Mazzulla follows and scores. It's a 2-pointer. It's 59-56. Back and forth and back and forth we go.
Yeah, Mazzulla's
7.5.
Mazzulla's got 21 points, Dan, and I bet 10 of them are off the offensive glass.
David Duke, 3-pointer, short off the floor. It's hustled down and kept for Classical by Jake Lamar. Now we've got a running shot from Jamari Johnson. He does not make it, but he will go to the charity stripe because he is fouled en route to the basket. That's 9 team fouls on Hendrickson, and the foul is charged to Billy Mueller.
Now, Johnson picked the ball up right around the foul line, elbow area. Usually that means bad news for a big man. They're going to draw a charge, but would you want to get in this kid's way?
No. No.
He is a big kid.
Johnson misses the first one. Mazzulla had checked out. He checks back in. Hensler had checked out. He checks back in for the Hawks. So it's Hensler, Santos, Mueller, Mazzulla, and Lawton on the floor for the Hawks. Second free throw is good. It's a 4-point game, 60-56, and the Hawks come to the front side. Hensler in front of our broadcast table on the left wing. Gives to Mueller. Back to the basket against Theodore. Looking for some room. Can't find it. Veers right. Hands off to Lawton. Lawton says, I don't want it. Gives to Hensler. Hensler top of the key. Now Santos, right wing. Left side of the key for Lawton. Jumper rims out. No good from three-point land. And here comes a running David Duke in front of us. And he runs right over Trevor Lawton, who will get called for the blocking foul. That was provocative. I would call that provocative. I thought Lawton was there.
I did not. I thought he got there just a hair too late. And, you know, this is why we have these areas of professional difference, Dan. We're still buddies after the game. I thought he got there just a hair late, really tried to slide his feet well, and Duke was a bit out of control. But
right. Duke with the free throw. Both teams now have reached the team limit. Every foul now is two free throws. Second. Good. 62-56. 6:50 remaining in the broadcast. Missoula across the timeline. Top of the key. Takes it himself. Shot no good. Foul. Have we gone more than 8, 10, 12 seconds in a row without a foul committed in the second half?
No. It's definitely been a little chippy here. And Missoula, you know, again, knew what to do with it. They isolated him, gave him some space to operate off the bounce. He put the ball on his hip, took his defender strong down the right alley, and once again got himself to the stripe.
Duke with three fouls, Theodore with one foul. Everyone else has two fouls on the floor for Classical right now. After the first free throw is made, the second one, 62-58. And what was the
call?
Got
a foul on the box out of the shooter as the ball was going through the net. So number one, the second free throw counts. Then another foul. Missoula back to the line again for two more.
Jacob Lamar is charged with that box out foul, if you will, and that is his third personal foul. Missoula goes to the line and misses this one. He has one more. Second is no good. Bounds away. And a great rebound by Jacob Lamar. He dishes out to Duke. Duke sprints to the front court. One-on-one with Missoula. Skips in. Throws out to Lamar. Shot is good off the baseline. Jacob Lamar, 6'1 senior forward. Hits two for Classical. They're back up six. Here's Hensler the other way. He's driving to the hoop. And guess what happened? A foul was called.
Unbelievable. Jacob Lamar, nice job. First on the defensive end, then the offensive end. He's ready to shoot when he received that pass. Knocked down the 12-footer. Scrappy play from the senior. But he picks up the foul on the other end. Hensler strong to the tin once again.
And Dan, we're back to the stripe. Lamar picks up his fourth foul. The free throw bounds around and is missed. 64-58, 6:24 remaining in the ball game. It's been a dandy, and I wouldn't go anywhere because something tells me we got another Hollywood finish coming up. The free throw is missed, the second one, but guess what? The Hawks have it back. So here's Preston Santos from the right wing with a jumper, which is short, run down by Missoula, but he can't keep control, and Classical has it. Jacob Lamar came up with that ball, gives off to David Duke, who hands to Rodney Theodore, who says, all right, let's run the show. He's getting pressure from Missoula out near half court. Veers left, gives to Duke on the left wing.
Yep, Hendrickson in a 1-3-1 right now.
Now Theodore in the corner, jumper good. What a well-designed play that was. That's 3 points for Classical, and Theodore, 67-58. Classical has kind of spread it out a little bit, and now they've got that lead. We'll come right back because Hendrickson wants to talk it over. You're listening to the Division I Championships from Brown University on WPRB.
Hey, Coach, welcome back to Wright's Farm Restaurant.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, we just finished dinner. And as usual, the service was prompt and friendly. That chicken just great, moist and delicious. Now I'm here on the lawns relaxing, trying my luck at Kino while Julie and the kids are in the gift shop. We loved your gourmet fudge and the original house salad dressing, and I'm hoping she buys me some of that cool sports fan gear. And yeah, we'll be back next week for my son's sports banquet.
Great, see you next week.
Wright's Farm Restaurant. Come for the meal, stay for the shopping. 84 Inman Road, Harrisville, Rhode Island, or WrightsFarm.com.
All mattresses lose their original comfort and support in about 8 years. For cool, weightless sleep, experience the new Elevate Collection exclusively at Cardi's. Its lift foam actively absorbs and supports your body and is naturally ventilated. Produced from biodegradable renewable resources, Lift Foam and Elevate is hypoallergenic and dust mite resistant.
Shop Carty's Furniture, Swansea, Route 2 West Warwick, South Attleboro,
South Kingstown, and mattress locations everywhere.
Hope High School, a school, a team, a dream. The latest incredible book from best-selling author and award-winning Providence Journal sports columnist Bill Reynolds. You'll be taken through the 2012 Hope Boys basketball team season, the troubles and triumphs of young men, the head coach and mentors who pursued one goal, a championship, but achieved so much more. Available on Amazon, BillReynoldsBooks.com, and wherever outstanding books are sold. Billy's here, of course, enjoying the broadcast. It's not a basketball game he doesn't see, or a movie he doesn't see, as a matter of fact. All right, here we go. Back on the floor with 5:30 and change left off the Hendricken timeout. You don't have to guess what happened. You can hear the whistle in the background, and another foul has been called, this time against David Duke, who now has four fouls, and that's a big problem for Classical. They lead by nine and send Missoula to the free throw line, but they may be without troops by the time this thing is over.
Yeah, they may be, and David Duke is certainly one of the troops that they can ill afford to lose in this one, so he's got to find a way to keep himself on the floor and understand that this thing is being called incredibly tight, to say the least.
Missoula makes one of two, and Classical is now on the run. Here's the shot from Lamar from the left baseline, missed. Rebound by Lawton, and the Hawks of Hendricken have the ball back. They're down by eight, 67-59. Preston Santos, right side in front of his own basket. Throws out to Lawton, but it's picked off by Johnson. And now David Duke has it. Classical has the ball back as we head toward 5 minutes. And down the stretch we come in the Division I championship, 67-59. Classical leads, and they've got the basketball. Rodney Theodore out between the circles. Goes left to David Duke. Stutter step. Checked by Lawton. Throws inside to Johnson. He loses it. Duke's got it back. Theodore from downtown. Good!
Rodney Theodore, to say he is feeling it, doesn't do it justice.
70-59. Missoula on the other end for Hendricken drives in and has the ball swatted away. And now we have another turnover. We have Mueller coming back to Hensler for the Hawks, and he drives and...
And let's pay attention to what happens from that point forward, because Classical had the ball. They're up 11 points with a chance to go up 13. Tried to force that one down with an over-the-top pass, which as soon as it left Duke's hands, you knew it was going to be picked off. Hendricken comes back down and cuts this thing to single digits with 9, with 4:17 to play. Only down 9.
70-61, 4:17, as Chris tells you. Woo. Hey, listen, if you're looking for a job, you want a career, Viveco is asking, why don't you make an application? A leading change agent company here in Rhode Island. Join the team, make a difference. Multiple positions available with this growing manufacturer. Marketing, IT, manufacturing, CNC machine operators, you name it, they've got it. Great hours, full benefits, great place to learn and grow. Go online and apply at Viveco. That's VIBCO.com/careers. Viveco Vibrators, leading change in Rhode Island. Join the team and make a difference with Carl Waddenston and his wonderful crew down there in Wyoming, Rhode Island. Alrighty, we reset here. The Division I championship still on the line. It's a 9-point ball game, but I still feel like it's anybody's game.
Yeah, I mean, this is far from decided. You've got two elite teams. They belong here for a reason, and both of them have executed well throughout the entire season to get themselves here. This Hendricken team, one of the most well-coached teams in the state by Jamal Gomes, 9 points with 4:17 left. That's an eternity. So if you're Classical, you need to continue to do what you have been doing, continue attacking off the bounce. Classical's done a much better job taking care of the basketball in the second half, and you got to make your free throws when you get them. And we know we're going to see some more free throws in this one.
All right, so they put Jacob Lamar back out on the floor. Jarrell De Los Santos is on the floor. Lamar has four fouls. Duke has four fouls. This standout guard for Classical, who will get the inbound play as we come off the timeout. The officials having some conversation at the scorer's table, but they're all set. We're ready to go as the clock ticks past 4:15 and a 9-point spread. De Los Santos to the front. He has his pass knocked away by Missoula. They'll reset with a side inbound. Packed house here at the Pizzatola Center for this Division I championship. It's been a lot of fun Division III at noon, Division II at 2:30, and here's the 5 o'clock game, the finale for this part of the postseason for the Rhode Island Interscholastic League. The inbound goes to Duke on the right-hand side. He misses a three-pointer, but De Los Santos has it off the Johnson rebound. It's out of bounds. Last touch by the Hawks. They'll put it in play underneath their own baskets.
Yeah, classical to inbound. We'll see what Hendricken comes out with here defensively. They were just in man-to-man. Sometimes they like to disguise the 2-3 matchup as something else, so we'll see what it's going to be off a dead ball.
Inbounds comes as Theodore looks. Now he throws a big lob pass out to Lamar on the right wing. It goes to David Duke, and they're going to call him for a traveling violation.
I didn't see it.
Oh. He was leaning with the ball, but I didn't see any movement.
No, I never saw a shimmy of the foot.
I have to tell you, though, officiating has been pretty good for these three ball games, because this is a full contact sport today, I will tell you that. Here's Santos. Now that's a travel. Yeah, Santos moved into the lane and took an extra step, kind of off balance, tried to make something happen and wasn't there. That's a turnover, so the ball goes back to classical with 3:35 to go and a 9-point lead. David Duke and Jarrell De Los Santos come to the front side. De Los Santos has the ball at the top of the key. Duke now on the left wing to Rodney Theodore, guarded by Billy Mueller. Kind of a matchup zone right now. Here's Johnson back to the basket, gives to De Los Santos in the lane. It goes off his shoulder. Lamar is there, and he recovers outside to Theodore. Three-pointer, good. Oh, that is a dagger, 73-61.
And Hendricken did a great job defensively. Theodore hoisted that up from 25 feet, got it to go. Hensler right back, veteran point guard play to the glass, gets Hendricken back to within 10 on the layup in traffic. But I mean, the basket looks like an ocean to Theodore right now. He cannot miss.
So Kyle Hensler's basket makes the score 73-63. Now Lamar throws up a quickie shot, probably ill-advised. Hendricken has the ball. They come down, but Hensler loses control of it. Lamar is on the floor with it, and he calls timeout. Smart play by him. And we'll keep it right here. 2:36 to go in the contest. 73-63 is the score.
Yeah, and if, you know, we've talked about in the second half, Theodore has at least four threes. He may have five threes in the second half. And, you know, Hendricken played excellent initial defense on that play. The shot clock was ticking down. To Theodore's credit, he understood time and score, knew where the shot clock was, got himself just enough separation, and let that thing fly from about 24, 25 feet to the top of the key.
Navigant Credit Union, enjoy life's journey with Navigant. Kwanzaa Business Park, home to nearly 11,000 jobs and more than 200 companies. Joining Kwanzaa's success at KwanzaaJobs.com. Hardy's Furniture and Mattresses. Nairobi offers same-day mattress eye delivery 7 days a week. Tenco Incorporated, our Rhode Island third-generation family-owned company and leader in the residential and commercial HVAC business. Wright's Farm Restaurant. Who doesn't want to go to Wright's Farm with the Galashaw family for any size banquet and events and a half century of famous family-style chicken dinners? Benrus, It's a Better Time, and the Providence Sky Chiefs playing their games at the Johnson & Wales Wildcat Center. Those are our contributing sponsors to this broadcast, and we thank them so much. 73-63 the score, 2.5 to go off the timeout, and here comes Classical with Jonathan Batista crossing the timeline. Throws a lob pass to left to David Duke. He's double-teamed, but he's got plenty of room as he keeps it out near the midcourt line. Coach Cavanaugh looking at the clock, 12 seconds on the shot clock. Here goes David Duke, gives off to Johnson. Pretty feed, bucket, score, foul. He'll go to the line.
Great play by Duke. Knifed into the lane, found his teammate Johnson, who was able to get Missoula on his back, had him sealed. Missoula was in a very awkward position, tried to swipe down, get too much arm, and then Johnson right through that contact, strong off the window and in.
So Jamari Johnson looking to complete the three-point play. He does not. He has 13. The ball bounds away, and Hendricken goes racing to the front court. Preston Santos scores the layup, but a foul is called prior to the shot. It'll be a two-shot foul anyway because we've been at the team limit since about 2 years ago here in the second half.
Yeah, pretty sure I had hair.
So we've got Batista with four fouls. Everyone else on the floor for Classical has three. I'm a little confused as to why they've got David Duke up there for three personal fouls when he had four at one point. A mystery. Free throw.
Correction or
maybe they switched it around. I'm not sure. But both free throws are good. 75-65. We're nearing the two-minute mark, and it has got to be go time for Henrichsen right now. Here's Batista. Gives off to Johnson. He is tackled. Tackled underneath the basket. And Johnson, I think, overreacts a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's got a smile on his face.
Yeah, he runs hot. But you're right. Rebounded rather nicely and steps to the line with a smile on his face. Going to take his two.
Trevor Lawton picks up the third foul. Only Mazzulla has four on the floor for Henrichsen. And you can't get nonchalant about this stuff. You know, you got to still make free throws. Up 10, 2 minutes to go. At the pace of this ball game, anything can happen, probably will.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Henrichsen comes down and whacks a three, and it's a three-possession game.
He misses both. Henrichsen's got the ball. Here's the pass to Lawton. Oh, he is, oh my goodness, he is creamed from behind. Billy Hensler made a wonderful pass to Lawton, and he was drilled from the back, and he is shaken up. He'll go to the free throw line. The foul is charged to Rodney Theodore, his fourth personal foul. Man, this game is not for the faint of heart.
No.
There's a lot of contact out
there. It's not. I'm not sure if Lawton's just going to try to aim for the bucket in the middle right now. Give him a lot of credit for getting off the floor.
First free throw is good. Henrichsen trying to crawl back in at 1:55 to go. Coach Gomes working it. Coach Kavanaugh working it. They haven't sat down much. Second good. 75-67, 1:55.
You score points with the clock stopped. That's a good thing.
Jonathan Batista, backcourt, breaks the press, soft press. David Duke out of the timeline, gives to Batista. He thinks about making a move. Very shifty with the ball. 12 on the shot clock, 1:35 remaining in the ball game. Man-to-man pressure from Henrichsen. They're in no hurry. And now here's Duke with a jumper from 12 feet. No good. Karam's away.
Contested two-point shot. You'll take that if you're Henrichsen. They clear the board.
Preston Santos drives the lane. Floater is good. 75-69. 1:18 to go. This is not sewn up by any means for Classical. And they're still in the backcourt trying to break the three-quarter court pressure now. David Duke with a lob pass received. Gives to Johnson underneath. His shot is no good. Rebounded by Mazzulla. Henrichsen with the ball. Rosa thinks about a three. He twirls and loses the ball out of bounds. Oh, bad play. Tough play there. 56 seconds remaining in the ball game. They're down six, Henrichsen is, and a timeout is called. And it'll be Classical ball in the back courts.
Yeah, and perhaps, you know, just in time and fortuitous for Classical because they've been getting sped up and not making good decisions with the ball on their end. Yeah, they're ahead. They should not be trying to rush anything on offense and taking contested shots. Rosa, you know, deadly three-point shooter. Classical did do a nice job of making sure that they made him put the ball on the deck there to try to create something for himself. That is not his strongest suit, obviously, with as much of a marksman as he is, and dribbled it off his foot.
All righty, so it's a six-point spread. Classical gets this game from the four seed, beating LaSalle at the semifinal, and Henrichsen gets this game from the three seed, beating Smithfield in the semifinal. Both of these teams will appear in the Credit Union Open Championships. The 16-team field will fill out tonight, tomorrow, on the Rhode Island Interscholastic League.org website. Of Meyer Eye TV Tuesday night at 7:30 and midnight on Fox Providence. We're going to dedicate the television show to a kind of our own version of March Madness with the brackets. Ought to be a lot of fun.
Love it.
All right, 75-69, 56.9 remaining in the ball game. Full court pressure from Henrichsen against Classical. There's a steal and a steal back. So Classical still has the ball. David Duke has it. Oh, De Los Santos lost it, and then they got it back. And now we've got a foul on Henrichsen, which is going to be the move now with 43.1 seconds remaining. There'll be two free throws coming up for Classical, up six.
Duke will step to the line. Preston Santos hobbles over to the sideline.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not good at all with 43.1 remaining. He's able to put weight on it, but whether or not he can return is very much up in the air.
Two fouls for Santos. And again, we've long been since at the team limit for a the most part of this second half, certainly for Classical, and then Hendricken joined. A very physical game. Lawton comes in to the ball game, replacing Isaiah Milers, who had checked in briefly. And now we've got a free throw coming up after the first is made. Second from Duke is good, so it's back to an 8-point spread with just 43 seconds remaining in the game. Missoula races across the timeline for the Hawks. He's looking for some room to operate. Throws out to Hensler. 3-point shot is no good. Rebounded by Duke. He went real high for that one. Pretty athletic move by David Duke, and he is fouled. And we'll walk down the other end of the Pizzatola center floor here for more free throws.
Yeah, it's been a lot of Duke and a lot of Theodore in the second half for Classical. That was a man's rebound by Duke right there. And then he did the real smart thing. He kept the ball. He didn't get jittery and try to throw it out while he's in traffic. He kept the ball, took one dribble, was able to clear some space, and Hendricken had to foul.
Crowd beginning to file out, those who, I guess, have tough parking spaces here on the east side. First free throw.
We're meter free today, though.
It is good.
Yeah, correct.
They know about the lot in the back? Probably sold out.
Yeah.
Second one, good. 79-69.
Huh?
10-point game now. It's just about all she wrote. You never know. 33 to go. Something crazy is going to happen. By the way, we've seen crazy today. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Here's Hensler. Baseline for a 2-pointer. It's good. 79-71. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And a foul. Dimitri Rosa fouls Jonathan Batista. And so Batista will go to the free throw line.
And Batista is a shooter. That's his specialty for this team. He's actually the brother of Ishmael Batista, who played on John Kavanaugh's state championship team a couple of years ago. So good lineage in the family, and he has a chance to help his team ice the game.
So Batista, who is yet to score, does now. That makes it 80-71. Now 81-71. It's all but over now as Hensler throws up a three-pointer from the left wing, and then what really should be an intentional foul.
The old James Worthy, Larry Bird, just hand on the back of the shirt.
Trevor Lawton grabs the shirt of David Duke, who just...
Yeah, it looked like a plyometrics exercise.
It did, actually.
I got to describe it for the fans.
It's very good. A plyometrics exercise. You know, folks, how the thing stretches? Well, that's what the shirt of David Duke was doing, yeah. Stretching back as Trevor Lawton pulled it backwards. 15.9 seconds remaining in the game, and so Classical is going to be the Division I champion. But, up until about 90 seconds ago, this thing was still a question mark. But I think both teams have brought it, no doubt, and both teams are going to be something to deal with in the Open Championship. I'll tell you, having now participated on the broadcast for the fourth year covering the high school playoffs here, I'm guessing that this Open Championship is exactly what it's titled, wide open.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of talented teams, and talented teams at all levels, every division. We saw that Narragansett team earlier. They can play with any. They can play with either one of these two teams right here.
After the free throws, it's 82-71. Missoula misses a three-pointer, and then another shot is up and no good, and we got a rebound from Fascicle, and the clock wind down here. That will do it. The final score, 82-71, and Classical, the Purple, are the Division I champions here at Brown University. Coach John Kavanaugh, thrilled for his guys, hugs and high fives, as can be expected. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll head to our post-game show. Again, the final score, Classical 82, Hendricken 71. This has been the Division I championship produced by Dicom Sports on WPRV.
Some call it an economic bright spot. Some people even say it's booming, but they're all talking about one place, the Quonset Business Park. At Quonset, more than 10,000 people are working at over 175 Rhode Island companies, and many of them are hiring. There are jobs available right now in submarine building, engineering, even jobs at one of the top 10 auto ports in North America. To learn more, visit QuonsetJobs.com. Quonset, share in our success at QuonsetJobs.com.
Whatever your reason for seeking a new mortgage, brand new home, or you're an experienced homeowner, you've got questions. The mortgage team at Navigant Credit Union has answers. Give them a ring, telephone number 401-233-4700, or contact at navigantcu.org. Navigant Credit Union home loan specialists have been helping members realize their dream homes for over 100 years. NMLS Loan Origination Company ID is 462-987. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Looking for a new home? Make sure you see Navigant.
Hey, Coach, welcome back to Wright's Farm Restaurant.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, we just finished dinner. And as usual, the service was prompt and friendly. That chicken just great, moist and delicious. Now I'm here on the lawns relaxing, trying my luck at Kino while Julie and the kids are in the gift shop. We loved your gourmet fudge and the original house salad dressing. And I'm hoping she buys me some of that cool sports fan gear. And yeah, we'll be back next week for my son's sports banquet.
Great. See you next week.
Wright's Farm Restaurant. Come for the meal, stay for the shopping. 84 Inman Road, Harrisville, Rhode Island, or Wright's Farm.com.
Taco is proud to support this broadcast and wishes good luck to all the student athletes. At Taco in Cranston, they're a third-generation family-owned American manufacturer of the highest quality comfort solutions for businesses and homeowners. 80 years in business, they continue to grow as a diverse and active company in traditional and new markets, and believe that their core values and enduring commitment to product quality will keep them a model Rhode Island business and community partner. Learn more at taco-hvac.com.
Dicom Sports and WPRV present the Rhode Island High School Boys Basketball Divisional Championships live from Brown University. And all the action is brought to you by Navigant Credit Union. Enjoy life's journey with Navigant. Quonset Business Park, home to nearly 11,000 jobs in more than 200 companies. Join in Quonset's success at QuonsetJobs.com. Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Nairobi offers same-day mattress high delivery 7 days a week. Taco Incorporated, a Rhode Island third-generation family-owned company and a leader in the residential and commercial HVAC business. Wright's Farm Restaurant, for any size banquet and events, and a half century of our famous family-style chicken dinner. And by Benrus, it's a better time. Time now for the post-game show. Here's Doug McGonigal.
And we're back here at the Pensacola Center. Doug McGonigal on assignment, looking to recruit both winning coach and players for a conversation about a much-deserved Division I championship for the classical purple. Dan York with Chris DeSano back here at Brown University as the consolation awards are being offered to Bishop Hendricken, and the soon-to-be championship awards are issued to Classical High School. In a well-deserved, well-earned championship, 82-71. What's your take on what you saw?
Well, you know, the first time these teams tangled, 46-45 in favor of Hendricken double OT.
Whole different ball
game. Right, so it was
what
a game
were they playing
about
with, a rock in the first ball game?
Who knows? Cow. Who knows? But this game, you know, Classical puts 82 points on the board. That's where they wanted to take this game. I'm sure even John Cavanaugh didn't think he'd get to that score, but they didn't want to play this in the 40s and 50s. They wanted to push it into the 60s and 70s, and they did that and then some. And that was really done by good work on the glass in the second half and much better caretaking of the ball by Classical in the second half. Their offense fueled their defense as well. They made shots that really got them going on both ends of the floor. And how about those two guards? Exceptional. I mean, Jordan Theodore, as we should call him, 30 points, and then David Duke with 26. You know, and just did what a point guard needs to do. So, you know, good guards win games and help you win championships. And these two are two of the very best.
This Classical team is a brand new club. I mean, it just looks like they are maturing at the right time going into the Credit Union Open Championships. And, you know, they've got LaSalle's number, having beaten LaSalle twice.
You looked over your shoulder because Eric Simonelli was sitting
Eric
in a row
Simonelli
behind
head
us
coach
before.
For LaSalle was behind us and
would have gotten hit with a 2x4 or something.
Well, you know, he's an excitable boy, but you got to call it the way you see it.
Yeah.
And the you know, the scoreboard doesn't lie. So LaSalle, the defending champions of the Open Championship, are going to have to figure out a way to stop this crew from Classical. Of course, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. I do believe that LaSalle is going to end up as a 1 or a 2 seed.
Yes.
Which is going to work out well, I guess, for LaSalle. He thinks that he won't see either Hendricken or Classical until at least the semifinals is the way the brackets might roll out.
Yeah, I think he believes he may not see them. And again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves in terms of gaming it out. but until the final, because I believe he thinks they're going to be the 2 and 3 respectively, and if LaSalle's the 1, they'll play the 4 in the semis. So it could be a cannibalization scenario with Classical meeting Hendricken again. So we'll see.
We will observe the field of 16 during the week with the first round games, and then the broadcast will pick right back up right back here from the same broadcast position at Brown University's Pizzatola Center for the Credit Union Open Championship quarterfinals. All four games at noon, 2, 4, and 6 will be broadcast from Brown University here, and of course then we will follow the road to the Ryan Center with the semifinals on Saturday, March 12th, for the boys at 4 and 6 p.m., and then we'll pick up the championship game for both the girls and the boys in the Open Championship. The girls at 3:30 on Sunday, March 13th, and the boys overall Open Championship at 6 o'clock that Sunday from the Ryan Center. But it's a long way to go 2 weeks from now to crown both the girls and boys Open Championships, and there are a lot of teams, 16 of them, that will be part of the field for both the boys and the girls that are looking forward to, you know, a Cinderella run by some. You never know who's going to be where and what. And as we get along in this post-game show, we'll talk a little bit more about what might be expected from that field. And again, I remind you, if you want to see a discussion of the field for the Credit Union Open Championships on the boys and girls side, join us on Dan York's State of Mind on MyRY TV at 7:30 on Tuesday night, Fox Providence at midnight. We'll have the entire broadcast dedicated. Bill Koch from the Providence Journal will join us. Some of the players that are being participating, that will participate in the Open Championships, will join us, and so that'll be a lot of fun. We will talk to the winning coach and a couple of the key players of the game when we return from the Pizzatola Center here on WPRV.
Whatever your reason for seeking a new mortgage, brand new home, or you're an experienced homeowner, you've got questions. The mortgage team at Navigant Credit Union has answers. Give them a ring, telephone number 401-233-4700, or contact at navigantcu.org. Navigant Credit Union home loan specialists have been helping members realize their dream homes for over 100 years. NMLS Loan Origination Company ID is 462-987. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Looking for a new home? Make sure you see Navigant.
These days, everyone seems to be talking about Rhode Island's economy. Where will the opportunities be? What can we do to prepare for the future? Well, at the Quonset Business Park, the future is right now. Why? Because at Quonset, over 10,000 people are working at growing companies in every sector of our economy. And these companies are hiring. There could be a bright future for you at Quonset, too. To find out, visit us at QuonsetJobs.com. Quonset, come share in our success at QuonsetJobs.com.
TACO is proud to support this broadcast and wishes good luck to all the student-athletes. At TACO in Cranston, they're a third-generation, family-owned American manufacturer of the highest quality comfort solutions for businesses and homeowners. 80 years in business, they continue to grow as a diverse and active company in traditional and new markets, and believe that their core values and enduring commitment to product quality will keep them a model Rhode Island business and community partner. Learn more at TACO-HVAC.com.
Hey, Coach, welcome back to Wright's Farm Restaurant.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, we just finished dinner. And as usual, the service was prompt and friendly. That chicken, just great, moist and delicious. Now I'm here on the lawns, relaxing, trying my luck at Kino while Julie and the kids are in the gift shop. We loved your gourmet fudge and the original house salad dressing. And I'm hoping she buys me some of that cool sports fan gear. And yeah, we'll be back next week for my son's sports banquet.
Great, see you next week.
Wright's Farm Restaurant. Come for the meal, stay for the shopping. 84 Inman Road, Harrisville, Rhode Island, or WrightsFarm.com.
Back here at the Pizzatola Center, Hope High School, a school, a team, a dream, an incredible book from best-selling author and award-winning Providence Journal sports columnist Bill Reynolds, takes you through a hidden world just a few hundred yards from this Brown University facility at Hope High School, where you'll be inspired by the true story of the extreme challenges of that 2012 Hope Boys basketball team, a real on-the-ground look on the troubles and triumphs of young men, their head coach, their mentors, who pursued one goal, a championship, but achieved so much more. That book is available on Amazon, BillReynoldsBooks.com, and wherever outstanding books are sold. Well, everyone's got a dream to win a championship, and a Division I championship was just won today here by the Classical Purple, with the score of 82-71 over Hendricken. And my broadcast partner from last year's semifinal and final, John Cavanaugh, the head coach of Classical, would much rather be on that side of the table coaching kids rather than talking with me and hanging out doing analysis. Congratulations, Coach. What a victory, huh?
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. It was it's a great moment for the program. You know, something we was obviously a goal at the beginning of the year, and, you know, I can't say enough about my guys. They've been tremendous all year. I'm sorry if I'm a little emotional. My father passed away 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
And these guys have been amazing. They really have. You know, it comes to teams of the week, support me. You know, anything I need, they work their tails off. I appreciate everything they've done for me. I can't say no about these guys, especially this guy right here. This guy right here, David Duke, he's the number one player in the state, bar none.
Well, let me tell you something. He took the game over.
He did.
He took the game over when it had to. Coach, give the mic to David, and we'll get back to you in a second and let you regroup there. And it's obviously a very poignant moment for you and for the team. David, crunch time, you just decided, what, it was your ball game? Those two threes in the second half, and, of course, we'll talk to Rodney Theodore, you know, threw in a casual 30 today. You're 26, pretty impressive. What was going on out there?
You know, we just, you know, got it through our heads that it was time to, like, turn the game over, you know. First half, we were struggling a little bit. You know, we ended the half down 8 points, so, you know, it was just time to turn it up. One and done, so we just decided, like, a lot of our guys are seniors, so we had to end it right. Just got it done.
I'm guessing that you feel pretty good about what's going to happen with this Open Championship. The Division I Championship's really important, but you guys seem to be on a little bit of a roll now.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good right now.
Understated.
Absolutely.
Let me just check back really quick with Rodney, and then I want to have Chris ask some questions. But before we talk to Rodney, throw those cans on Rodney's head because I want to have him hear this. Here's one of the calls that we had in the ballgame today. Duke's got it back. Theodore from downtown. Good!
Rodney Theodore, to say he is feeling it, doesn't do it justice.
All right. Were you feeling it, Rodney?
I mean, I was open. I was hitting my shots. You know, I did whatever I could for the team.
Pretty confident.
Absolutely. Rodney, you know, I want to talk to you guys. The other night against LaSalle, there was a momentum-shifting moment at the half where you guys made a big bucket, and really that sort of propelled you. In this game, Hendricken came down and whacked a glass-aided three to put them up 8. What was the message in the locker room, and how did you all stay poised coming out?
I mean, we went to the locker room. Our coach told us that it wasn't over. You know, we still had another 16 minutes to play, yep. And we was going to do whatever we could to come out with the win. Blood, sweat, and tears on the court.
As far as you two playing together, you know, how much of a joy is it to play with this guy in the backcourt with you guys kind of controlling tempo, pace, and doing your thing back there?
Oh, this guy's a great right here. Nobody could guard this man.
All right, well, you guys obviously feel really good about it. You got a final thought, David, before the Credit Open Championships? Final thought from you?
You know, we're not done. Still got 4 more games. No time for slacking.
Oh, yeah.
No, one and done.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got to go out strong.
There you go, with a big smile.
Best of luck the rest of the way.
He's a charmer. So, you know, Coach, obviously you're feeling a whole bunch of stuff right now. And, again, my condolences on the passing of you.
Likewise.
And you know, there's nothing like having a support system. Sometimes people are lucky to have young people as a support system.
Yeah,
huh?
You know what? Like I said, they've been phenomenal. And it obviously gives me something to focus on. These guys came in this year, and we started off the season saying, you know what, it's going to be Ryan Center or bust. You know, the current group of seniors were freshmen when we won in 2013, and I brought them along with us the entire road to the playoffs, including here when we lost to Hope. For the simple fact that I wanted them to see what it took to get to that level and say, you know what, now it's your turn. You need to go do that. And, you know, we got 7 seniors on the team, and this meant something to everyone. There was no guys that are coming back and saying, well, you know what, I got 2 more years, I got 3 more years. No, this is it. This is it. This is your chance. And, you know, the fact that we were able to beat LaSalle on Friday and then beat Hendricken, I don't know what's the last team to beat both, you know, the two Catholic schools back-to-back, you know, to get to this point. But they've been phenomenal. The kids listen, they work. You know, they've been great.
Well, you brought it together. I thought the screw had come pretty loose there after you went up 8 points.
Yeah.
We had 2 runs to start the game, 8 and then 13
right.
from Hendricken.
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, I don't know about this one. But the momentum kept shifting back and forth, and at the end, and I think Chris would agree to this, a pretty disciplined effort on the part of Classical in the second half.
Yeah, and that's exactly a great segue to the question that I want to ask John, which was, you know, the first half, it almost got to the point where you all looked a little jittery, you know, after your...
Yeah.
How did you settle these guys down and then the caretaking of the ball in the second half, especially considering the back and forth and choppy pace of this thing at times, was exemplary?
Well, you know what, like we had talked about last night, I knew that they wanted to be physical.
Yep.
You know, and I knew that, you know, their pressure had bothered some in the first half. I told him, I said, guys, you know, I'm not worried about how we break the press. The simple fact is if you get stops, they can't get into the press.
Right.
So when we're coming down and we're jacking up bad threes and then we're going back down and letting them score, you know, and you know, Mizzou was able to get to the bucket. You know, Lawton hit the bank three at the end of the half.
Yeah.
They knocked down, I think, Demetri Rosa had two threes in the first half. It was uncharacteristic plays for us defensively. And that allowed them to get into their press, and then we struggled with that a little bit. You know, we just weren't aggressive. You know, Jonathan Batista getting in foul trouble didn't help. You know, there were certain things that just worked against us. At halftime, you know, we made the run late, and, you know, had cut it back down to eight, and then he hit the three to center the 8.5. But I told him at halftime, look, guys, we're far from done. You know, we've been in this position before. When we played Hendrick in our place, we were up 8 and 9.5. They came back. We went up by 9. They came back. We were down 16. It was going to be a game of runs. I knew that. Luckily, our defensive effort was much better in the second half. I don't think we gave up any threes in the second half for them. On top of it, we did a better job of limiting them to one shot, rebound, outlet, and then we were able to get out in transition. Once we get in transition, once you said David Duke loose, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And then Rodney Theodore he shot the lights out tonight.
All right. So I guess my final question would be what the meaning of a Division I championship is. You know, since this format has moved to the Credit Union Open Championship, there are some there's some head games that go on in this whole thing where some would say, hey, you know, the Division Championship's one thing, but it's all about the big prize at the Ryan Center. Put this in perspective and how important it is to you and your team.
So I just had this conversation, and I feel like I had this conversation every time I see Eric Simonelli from LaSalle.
Gee, there was one guy who I had in mind when
I was thinking about this.
And I mean, Eric's got some strong feelings about it.
He doesn't feel
like the Division I championship is as meaningful to his program. Yep. He told me that last year prior to the Credit Union Open Championships. And he went in to win the whole shoot match.
So
you tell me, the guy that you've beaten or the team that you've beaten twice now doesn't feel real strongly about this trophy. He feels very strongly about the
Open Center.
Yeah.
And I told him a couple of different things. Like, first of all, it's more basketball. What's wrong with that? It's more games. I'll take more games. You know, if we could play to April, I would play to April. If we could play to June, I'd play to June. It's great. This is what we do. You know, and I know Eric loves it. It's not like that. But I think on top of it, it's almost like saying, all right, well, you know, the Big East tournament doesn't count if, you know, it's the NCAA tournament. Are those two different trophies? Absolutely. Are they two different, you know, types of titles? Absolutely. Are they both important? I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, and I look back to the year that we lost here to Hope and then beat North Kingston in the finals.
Right.
I would love to have that game against Hope back. You know, I'd love to have that title. The only difference was losing that game that wasn't the finality of the season, whereas you lose the Open title. But when it comes down to it, you know, we want to win every game we play. And I think you can weigh it differently, and different schools want to weigh it differently and, you know, put more emphasis on whatnot because you're playing the whole state or whatever. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you're winning a title. You're winning a championship. It's got to count for something.
I think it counts for a tremendous amount.
I really do. You know,
you're the Division I champions for the year 2015,
exactly.
2016, game, set, match.
And for a long time, this was the title. You know, this was the title in the state to get the D1 title. You know, the years that we won the D2 title and there was no Open, you know, the guys that won back in like 85 and 86, they didn't want to recognize those titles. So that tells you something.
Right.
But, you know, it's all about, you know, how as a coach you weigh it and as a school weighs it. And, you know, we put a lot of stock in this, but we're not losing the fact that this is one step to our ultimate goal. This got us up to the 3 seed today. So now I believe we play Shea in the first round. And, you know, it obviously changes the brackets. And,
sure.
And it obviously it means a lot to us.
All right.
You know?
Well, listen, profound afternoon for you, no doubt. And a big week coming up.
Yeah.
And again, it's nice to have the kids. And again, our best to you and your
family.
Thank you.
I appreciate
and
that.
What you're dealing with.
Thank you, Chris.
John, thanks. You're a good man.
All right.
Congratulations.
I definitely hope I'm playing
the 12th and 13th.
Listen, I'll hire you, but I don't want you.
Hey, you can still pay me if you like. Just I might be on the court.
Hey, John, a few more foul calls, and you'll be playing till April and May anyway. So should be all set there.
All right, we'll pause and come back and wrap up here from the Pizzatola Center. Again, the final score is 82-71. Classical wins the Division I championship. You're listening to Dicom Sports on WPRV.
Taco is proud to support this broadcast and wishes good luck to all the student-athletes. At Taco in Cranston, they're a third-generation, family-owned American manufacturer of the highest quality comfort solutions for businesses and homeowners. 80 years in business, they continue to grow as a diverse and active company in traditional and new markets, and believe that their core values and enduring commitment to product quality will keep them a model Rhode Island business and community partner. Learn more at taco-hvac.com.
All mattresses lose their original comfort and support in about 8 years. For cool, weightless sleep, experience the new Elevate Collection exclusively at Cardi's. Its lift foam actively absorbs and supports your body and is naturally ventilated. Produced from biodegradable renewable resources, lift foam in Elevate is hypoallergenic and dust mite resistant.
Shop Cardi's Furniture, Swansea, Route 2 West Warwick, South Attleboro, South Kingstown, and mattress locations everywhere.
Whatever your reason for seeking a new mortgage, brand new home, or you're an experienced homeowner, you've got questions, the mortgage team at Navigant Credit Union has answers. Give them a ring, telephone number 401-233-4700, or contact at navigantcu.org. Navigant Credit Union home loan specialists have been helping members realize their dream homes for over 100 years. NMLS Loan Origination Company ID is 462-987. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Looking for a new home? Make sure you see Navigants. Experience professional basketball in the Ocean State. The Providence Sky Chiefs, now of the Premier Basketball League, play all home games at the Johnson & Wales Wildcat Center in Providence, Rhode Island. For a full schedule of home games, roster information, or to buy tickets, visit www.providenceskychiefs.com. Tickets are just $10, and kids under 12 can attend free of charge. That's professional basketball in the Ocean State. Providence Sky Chiefs playing at the Johnson & Wales Wildcat Center.
Ball on the floor, picked up by Whitford, ahead to Palmer for Narragansett, and he jams it home and makes it a 12-point game.
Put the jam in the jar. Great defense by Doyle, run out the other way, and Palmer, wow, elevation. We're talking stratosphere stuff right there.
Whoo, my goodness, where did that kid come from? All right, that's Jason Palmer jamming in the Division II championship, 65-54 victory for Narragansett over top-seeded Westerly. We've seen some good basketball here today, Chris DeSano, Dan York, and Chris DeSano courtside as we wrap up our postgame show for the Division I. But looking back after this 82-71 victory for Classical over Henrikin, we said today, do not look past Narragansett in this open championship. They may be only six or seven deep, but they're good.
Yeah, they're real good. And those six guys play together. They understand their roles. They have great length. They have shooters. They have veteran guards. And they're the type of team that can play with absolutely any team in this open tournament, and I expect them to make some noise.
And if you missed what happened earlier today, I don't know what kind of noise Cherahoe is going to make in the open championship as the Division III champion. I wouldn't look past them either. They've got something going on with some kind of basketball god thing happening. Corey Downey's team was unbelievable today, as was Kevin Randall's team. The Burrillville Broncos lost to Cherahoe 60-59, in a situation where if you weren't here, you wouldn't even be able to explain it. I'll try. We're 4.3 seconds remaining in the ball game, and the score was Burrillville 59 and Cherahoe 58. They were inbounding the ball. Jake Beauregard was inbounding the ball right in front of us, and it was picked off by Dominic Esposito, who then took it to his forecourt and in celebration threw the ball up in the air. It didn't go high enough to run the clock out. It was picked up by Nate Morin of Cherahoe, who wisely called timeout. We thought and we called a championship, a Division III championship for Burrillville, but the officials said that there was 1 second remaining on the clock, and so timeout was called by Cherahoe. Coach Downey put his plan together, and here's what happened with 1.0 seconds on the clock and the ball being inbounded at half court. 1.0 on the clock. Jericho down 59-58. Bjerregaard will inbound side court, slaps the ball, throws it all the way down to Lagaluco. He scores!
Oh, my goodness!
He scores! Jericho has won the Division III championship on a set play from Bjerregaard to Lagaluco. The Jericho students have come out of the stands. They have mobbed the players. What an unsuspecting, unbelievable, who would have thought about its finish for the Division III championship? That was a play I'll remember forever. Forget those kids. Amazing.
Yeah, I approve this message. I mean, it was, you know, we're in an election year. It was unbelievable. And the play diagram by Corey Downey, you know, a little double back screen right around the foul line area. Just perfect delivery of the alley-oop pass from Bjerregaard to Lagaluco, who was able to catch it in one motion, you know, while elevated and lay it in, you know, softly off the window. Just an unbelievable finish to a game. I agree. I don't care what level you're at. You know, I'm going to go down to Brooklyn for the Atlantic 10 tournament in 2 weeks, and I sure know that I'm not going to see anything like that. That was special.
All right. So, final thought on what you've seen here in the divisional championship, Atlantic 10 analyst Chris DeSano.
I've seen great basketball, you know, throughout the entire day. That first game speaks for itself with the finish and the resolve of those kids. Narragansett, as we've talked about, is a great team, and Westerly certainly going to be heard from as well. And then, you know, in this last game, I saw a classical team really take care of the ball much better in the second half and ride two elite guards to a Division I victory. So just a wonderful day all the way around. And, you know, want to thank everybody associated with it, you, partner, as well as Doug. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Chris, thanks. Enjoy the collegiate basketball season. And Brett did an incredible job back at the studios.
Yep.
Brett, thanks so much. We have you and I will see each other one more time down Thursday as I do the public address for URI's final home game versus UMass. So you'll get back on the college beat. And, of course, we will highlight the 16-team field for the boys and the girls again on Dan York State of Mind on Tuesday night of this week, 7:30 on MyRI TV and midnight on Fox Providence. We will pick up the Open Championship basketball tournament back here at Brown with the four quarterfinal games, pregame at 11:40 for the first game, noon 2, 4, and 6. And then, of course, we'll take the radio travel to the Ryan Center as the road to the Ryan Center provides us with semifinal action on Saturday the 12th at 4 and 6 o'clock for the boys. And then on Sunday the 13th, 3:30 tip for the girls' championship. And the 6 o'clock tip for the boys' championship. For Doug McGonigal, for Brett back in the studio, Doug McGonigal and Chris DeSano, I am Dan York saying thank you so much for listening to our broadcast today. Again, the final scores in Division III this afternoon at noontime, 60-59, Jericho over Burrillville. Division II, Narragansett beats Westerly 65-54. And the Division I champion, Classical, 82-71. You're listening to a Dicom Sports presentation on WPRV. Good night.